for Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 26th of April. The thesis statement of everything I believe in basketball comes up in a geeky, geeky edition next on Locked On Jazz. Pow! How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, expertise, geeky numbers today to the extraordinary. The Today Show is available on Himalaya, which is a fun little app, curated playlists, YouTube playlists, all sorts of fun things, kind of a modern, good podcasting app in an ever-changing world. So download the app Himalaya and subscribe and follow Locked On Jazz. Also available Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher. And when you get in your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Jazz and then go drive with me. All right, today I want to go, there's a lot of locker clear out stuff. I probably could have waited till next week on this, but I wanted to put this out there while everyone was still tuning in. I've been working on this for much of the year. I've been working on this premise, for a long, long time, and you have been victim or opened to it throughout the years. And that is the concept of points gained. I'm really going to take you back to the basics here and explain a little bit. So the way that I evaluate players in the NBA on an offensive metric is how many points they add to their team on a given night compared to an average player. Without losing you in the first 2 minutes of the program today, this is different than what most analysts do, including my great friend Kevin Pelton, who's probably smarter than me on this, he believes in looking at everybody over replacement level. What I don't like about looking at players over replacement level is I want to build a team that is going to advance into the final eight of the NBA, ideally the conference finals, and ideally the NBA finals, and ideally winning a championship. But in my mind, I actually think you want to get to the final four of your conference every year. You'd like to win a championship. It's almost impossible, and Cleveland did it with some of the worst ownership in the league because they had a guy that was born in their market, right? Like, I mean, just weird stuff sometimes. The Warriors are doing it right now because they were perfectly situated for the 1 year in which there was this salary bump and they added another star. It's so hard to win a championship that as much as it can be your ultimate goal, I do think it's a bit faulty to set it as your goal because I think it actually takes almost some, I would rather set my goal at something that's attainable. Maybe things break my way. Maybe I can push through even further. And uses some logic to get there. Whereas, you know, to try to build your team to win a championship, I guess you could just take every risk possible and see what happens. So so that's the premise a little bit of why I believe above average, because I think if you build your teams above average, then you can get to that final four. I will also tell you that if you go through the years, the teams that have won championships have almost universally had every single one of their players use a possession above average. We can take the time, and I mean, we can go through the eight playoff teams right now, but I think we actually could probably are at a point in which if you go look at the teams we think actually have a chance to win it, right? So, well, in the East, it's probably four teams for the fun of it. But if you take all those players who played 1,000 minutes, there's not a player on Milwaukee that has a rating below minus 0.1. To me, that's a championship team. What this means is, and the reason I think this is so important, is because in a playoff series, when someone decides that Giannis is not going to use that possession, when you tried to decide that LeBron or Dwayne Wade wasn't going to use that possession, it ended up with Chris Bosh, Shane Battier, Ray Allen, all above average players. Same thing with the Spurs. If you took it away from Duncan and Parker, it ended up in Manu. It ended up in Brent Berry. It ended up in Matt Bonner. This litany of players, they were all above average in how they use their possession. Again, above average to me is defined as you are using your possession above the average usage of a possession in the league. I do not count turnovers. I've always had this stance on turnovers. I do not believe that turnovers have a huge impact. In fact, there's an inverse reaction to level of turnovers and offensive efficiency. I look at the individual use of a player's possession. One premise you have to buy into that has got some problems is that I don't believe teammates impact players a great deal. Systems do in rare occasions, but not often. If you put a negative player like D'Angelo Russell into Quinn Snyder's system, I still think he's negative. If you take Joe Ingles and take him outside of Quinn Snyder's system, I'm not convinced he's still positive. Okay? If you understand the difference in type of player I'm talking about there. It's a lot here. It's a lot here. I hope you're not like, this is a listen-to podcast. Hopefully you're getting it. So if we look at Milwaukee, almost all their guys are positive. They have some negative point ones. That's basically the same. We look at Toronto, and Fred VanVleet is minus 0.4, and Marc Gasol is a minus 0.3. That's getting close to being a problem. Otherwise, all their guys are positive to play at least 1,000 minutes this year. I have it sorted by 1,000 minutes right now. We look at Boston. I don't think they are a title contender, and this is why. They have Terry Rozier at minus 0.1, Jason Tatum at minus 0.4, Jaylen Brown at minus 0.3. They don't have a lot of guys that have played 1,000 minutes, interestingly. Maybe I should look at them as a title contender since they don't have many guys who've played 1,000 minutes. They only have 8 guys who've played 1,000 minutes this year. 1,000 minutes to me is averaging over 10, but maybe it's too high since they have other players who are going to play in the playoffs. Let's look at Philadelphia. And that you're going to get to see what's going to happen here. Philadelphia has Jonathan Simmons at minus 1.3, or they're not playing a great deal anymore. They have Michael Scott at minus 0.3, which is not a deal breaker if he brings other things to the table. And so those teams are all pretty well set. Okay? That's why those four are left. And then in the West, I think we think Golden State or Houston are the ones that have a chance to win it. And I think Golden State wins it because I think Houston's second unit. But Golden State has Draymond Green this year at minus 0.5, who people just simply don't guard. Otherwise, they're set. Everybody's positive, and they have the most positive guys in the league. Let me back up one set before I dig into what I think is the big find here for those that are new to this. So again, the data point, if you're kind of like, what the hell's going on here, is points gained is Giannis Antetokounmpo uses 21.5 scoring opportunities a game. And in those 25 scoring opportunities, he's 3.6 better than the average player. That's an enormous amount. An enormous amount. He's the best in the league. Steph Curry is 3.5. James Harden is a 3.3. This kind of is universal. Every year, there's three guys that are three or better. There's about 10 guys that are 2 points gained or better. And then this year, there are 32 guys that are 1.0 or better. Just on a given night, you just give your team a point. That's what it is. Just give yourself a team a point. The guys that are 2.0 or better, and this actually might explain why the Clippers are as good as they are. Montrezl Harrell is 2.0. Kawhi Leonard, John Collins in Atlanta. Danilo Gallinari, Karl Anthony Towns, Clint Capella, Rudy Gobert, Kevin Durant, James Harden, Steph Curry, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Hard to quibble. Giannis, Steph, Harden, Durant as the top four. Gobert, Capella. Notice, by the way, the best team in the Western Conference has three of the top six, and the other one has two of the top six. Kawhi Leonard, Montrezl Harrell, all there. So how important is this? Okay, you've got the premise. That's the build. Those are the best in the league. We are now at the final eight. And what I want to do is see what the impact of having positive or negative offensive players on your roster really is from a team-building standpoint. And we'll do that when we continue. Today's show is brought to you by Murdoch Hyundai, 4646 South State Street. I love that when I drove through the crowd of people, somebody said to me, I knew it was you. That is true. So I am driving the new Murdoch Hyundai Santa Fe. It is fabulous. It has a great level of technology, a lot of self-driving aspects to it. Has the cruise control, which holds you between how far away you want to be from the other car, slows down as you go around a curve by itself, holds you inside your lanes. It's really remarkable. Great space. And the thing about a Hyundai is if you're looking for a car, the value you can get for a Hyundai is really, really high. The little Kona's fabulous, zipping around in that tiny little SUV. The Tucson has been selling like hotcakes with their great new colors, and I'm in the Santa Fe, which is a little bit of the bigger model. If you're looking for a car, go at least include Hyundai into your look and see what you can get and compare it to the other cars that are out there. Jason is the guy who helped us buy our car at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. We got our son, the Santa Fe. Blake's down in Linden for you. You can stop by. They're also up in Logan. Plus, you get the Murdoch guarantees of the no regrets experience. It's all at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Today's show is also brought to you by ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find the right people with the right experience and invite you to apply for your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. As of right now, I've got a deal for you. ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon for free. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. All right. So let's dig into this and see whether or not my fundamental belief in the NBA is true. And my fundamental belief, frankly, is that negative offensive players are death. I actually kind of believe it. I think that when you think about the positive offensive players we just talked about, the fact that there are only three guys that are above three, there's only 10 guys above two, there's only 40 guys or 32 guys this year that are above 1.0. That if you have a negative offensive player, it is so hard to overcome that it's really, really difficult. Every series, if the Warriors advance, understanding that Denver and San Antonio are the same and they're going seven games, the offensive team has advanced. There's almost a correlation between how much separation there is between the teams in offense and how many games the series went. The Clippers are the ninth best team in the league, and the Warriors are the first, and they're going six. The Rockets are the second best offense. The Jazz are the 14th. They went five. Portland's the third best offensive team. The Thunder's the 16th. They went five. Milwaukee's the fourth best offense. Detroit's 21st. They went four. Toronto's the fifth best offense. Orlando is the 22nd. They went five. Spurs and Nuggets are the exact same offense. They're going seven. I mean, this is, I don't know if this is, should be overstated, but it has some, it feels like there's something significant here. Indiana without Oladipo is not great. Boston went, swept them, but they weren't, you know, that's 10 versus 18. It's not that big a jump. Orlando at 23rd was the worst offensive team in the league to make the playoffs. Indiana made it at 18. Brooklyn made it at 19. Wonderful to be in the Eastern Conference. Oklahoma City was the only sub-average offensive team. They were 16th to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. Okay? There are 22 players in the NBA. Let's start with high usage, because it actually is more interesting if we start with high usage and go to low usage. So there are 20 players in the NBA that use over 20 scoring opportunities a night. OK, Okay, we're into a very so this is the really simple question. If your primary guy is a high usage, is a positive or off negative player, what happens? Okay? So there's 20 guys in the NBA that use 20 scoring opportunities or more. Of those 20 guys, there's only two of them that are minus one or below. Donovan is minus one. Russell Westbrook is minus 2.7. They're both out. Eight of the top 10 are in. The only ones out are Anthony Davis and LeBron James. Otherwise, eight of the top 10 are in. Paul George is out because he has to play with Russell Westbrook. Devin Booker is out. Bradley Beal is out. Blake Griffin is out. Zach LaVine is a plus 0.6. Like Zach LaVine more and more. Okay. Let's go to the next tier. Players that use 15 scoring opportunities. There's 56 of them. About one on every team. Two on every team. 56 players use 15 or more scoring opportunities. 10 of them have a rating of negative one or below. All of them are fishing. All of them. Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell, Tim Hardaway, John Wall, Colin Sexton, Victor Oladipo, Dennis Schroeder, Andrew Wiggins, Russell Westbrook. All of them are fishing. Okay, well, that negative offensive players really hurt you. Donovan's got to get positive here, guys. It's fine. He's a second-year player. It's not a big deal. Donovan's got to get positive. Right? That's really important. There are another set of nine players that are negative 0.5 or below that use 15 possessions or more. So it's interesting, by the way, of the 56 players that use 15 or more possessions, a third of them are minus 0.5 or below in this league. A third of them. One will be in the playoffs in the round of eight. One. It will either be DeMar DeRozan or it will be Jamal Murray. Maybe because they're playing each other. One of them. So of the 19 players that are minus 0.5 or below that use 15 scoring opportunities. So this is your number one or number two option. If they're negative, all but one will be out. There are 20 of them that are above 1.0. That seems right. Yeah, 20 of them. Just want to make sure. Check my math. Sorry. 11 of them are still in, maybe 12. There's another six that are 0.5 or above. Maybe one more gets in. It's LaMarcus Aldridge. But of the above average off Nikola Jokic, Tobias Harris, Dame Lillard, J.J. Redick, Kyrie Irving. Interesting, though, what might be most interesting is who are positive players that are not in the playoffs, and you might be interested. So Carl Anthony Towns, Danilo Gallinari, John Collins, not available. Julius Randle. Julius Randle had a hell of a year in New Orleans. Worth considering for teams. Devin Booker, Paul George, Bradley Beal. Not a surprise. Those are the 1.0 guys. Buddy Hield, Blake Griffin, TJ Warren, a free agent, non-three-point shooter, might have a depressed market value. Positive, had a good three-point shooting year, better figure out it's real. LaMarcus Aldridge, Zach LaVine. I'll tell you what, Chicago's got a salary cap problem, might decide they don't love their Zach LaVine contract. I might go hunt around that. Nikola Jokic, available in free agency. All right. So that, I think, is really telling. Of the 20 number one options, if you're under one, all of them are out. And eight of the top 10, if they're above one, are in. It's a great way to evaluate a player. Of the 56 players who are one or two options, basically use 15 or more scoring opportunities, of the of the 19 of the 56 that are under negative 0.5, they're worse, only one of them will still be in the playoffs. Of the 10 that are minus 1 or below, all of them are out. Of the 20 that are above 1, one is in. What happens to this model when instead of taking part of you is probably sitting there saying, okay, well, number 1 or number 2 options, that's probably intuitively obvious. What happens when I take it to the next level? Which is I decide, I want basically all 5 of your top guys. What happens when I cut it to 10 scoring opportunities a game, which includes 140 players? Do negative players matter as much? Sure. So we've proven that if the negative offensive player is your first or second option, it precludes you from winning. And quite obviously, if you have a really good first or second option, you're good. What happens if I stretch this thing all the way out to 140 players? There's 140 players out there that have played 1,000 minutes and used 10 scoring opportunities a night. Does it still hold? We'll talk about that in just a second. Today's show is brought to you in part by Homey. Homey is a Utah-based company. Really interesting guys. They had started a company in Entrada out in doing property management work out of BYU, changed the way all that worked, largely because of the fact that one of the guys' wives was working for this company, and you know, the pay every month when the checks came, it was just a disaster, so they built this and changed how everything worked there. Well, now they're doing it to the real estate market. And the research on what they're doing is pretty darn interesting. So Homey has decided, instead of giving you one single agent, they're going to give you a team of people. And the question then is, well, does this actually work? Well, so far it does. And that is what's amazing. The data is showing right now that they're selling a little faster than the average house on the market and that they're selling for more. Those are the benefits. What's really incredible is how much money you save, right? Because Homey, instead of taking 6%, has a simple flat fee of $1,500 to list your home. $1,500 just to list. So think about that. Start doing the math. What's 6% of a few, you know, it doesn't take a lot for your house to suddenly you be making saving equity here for that $1,500. Find out more by texting LOCK to 88588. That's LOCK, LOCKE to 88588. That's LOCK to 88588 and find out more about Homey. So here is what really matters to me. And this is, I think, if I was building a roster, I would really care about this. Of the top 140 players in the NBA in possession usage. Again, so there's 30, so that's 4.5 a team, right? We're now into your guys. 22 of them have an offensive rating of below 1. If Denver wins, Will Barton will be the only one left in the playoffs. Will Barton will be the only one left in the playoffs. Players that are below 1 that use 10 possessions. Donovan Mitchell, D'Angelo Russell, Goran Dragic, Tim Hardaway, Justice Winslow, Kent Bazemore. Carmelo did this year. He wasn't in the 1,000. I've got the 1,000-minute filter off. Elfrid Payton, John Wall, Avery Bradley, Colin Sexton, Will Barton, Chris LeVert, J.J. Barea, Victor Oladipo, Dwayne Wade, Lonzo Ball, Dennis Schroeder, Dennis Smith, Tyreek Evans, Josh Jackson, Chris Dunn, Kevin Knox, Andrew Wiggins, Russell Westbrook. So Will Barton would be the only one. Ricky Rubio. I left that name out. Ricky Rubio is a minus 1 also. Sorry. Started on Donovan. There are 23 more players that are under 0.5. So we now have 41 players of the 140. We're at about a third, a little bit less than a third of these guys, right? 41 of 140. We're at about, it's not quite one fourth. It's not quite, it's in between about 22, 23%. of, excuse me, it's not quite one fourth. It's not quite one third. It's about 30%. So 30% of the players are minus 0.5 points gained. Only players that will be left in the playoffs are either Will Barton, Gary Harris, and Jamal Murray on Denver, or DeMar DeRozan. So we will either have one of 45 players, or we will have three of 45 players all on the same team. And Gary Harris is playing well right now. Those players include Bobby Portis, Gary Harris, Bojan Bogdanović, Sacramento, Emmanuel Mudiay, Justin Holiday, Trey Burke, Trey Young, Jamal Murray, Jeff Teague, Josh Richardson, Deion Waiters, Mae Dotson, DeMar DeRozan, Evan Fournier, Jordan Clarkson, Aaron Gordon, Trevor Ariza, Luka Doncic, no big deal, he's a rookie, Tyler Johnson, CeeDee Osman, De'Aaron Fox, Jay Crowder, Kyle Kuzma. When I'm building my team, I want hands off. The numbers are pretty graphic here. There are 32 players who are 1.0 or better, right? We talked about that. 16 of them are in the playoffs. There are another 20 that are 0.5 or better. There'll be either 22 still in the playoffs, or if San Antonio advances, there'll be 25 still in the playoffs. This is really telling. At least to me, this is self-fulfilling prophecy. This is everything I have believed in that matters in the game, and it's coming to fruition before my eyes in an analysis of how you should evaluate players. It is clear you have to be good offensively to win in this league, and it is clear in a big picture, and it is clear that you cannot overcome negative offensive players, despite all their other intrinsic value. It's too much. 140 players using 10 scoring opportunities or more. Of the 32 that are below 1.0, excuse me, of the 22 that are below 1.0, only one will still be in the playoffs. Of the 45 that will or minus 0.5, either three or one will be in the playoffs. The value of Nikola Jokic to cover up those other guys a little bit. But Jokic is not crazy positive. So the next question you're dying to ask is who's out there? So if our borderline is 0.5 or above, who are those players? And that the Utah Jazz could actually go get that might matter. The name Zach LaVine I mentioned here a few times. He's been panned. He's been negatively criticized. He's been made fun of. He's a positive offense player. I would strongly consider Zach. If Chicago is willing to move Zach LaVine, they just traded for Otto Porter. They're going to have to pay Lauri Markkanen. They're going to have to pay Wendell Carter. Maybe. TJ Warren is a positive 0.6. You better figure out his 3.2 shooting. Nikolai Mirotic is a 0.6. Jeremy Grant, I mentioned him yesterday, 0.8. Enes Kanter, by the way, is a 0.8. Good for him. He's a good offense player. Tobias Harris is a 1.1. I would spend the money. Julius Randle is a 1.5. It's different than what we are right now, but I might consider it. There are not a lot of them. They are hard to come by. Kawhi Leonard, it's why it's so amazing if he moves. Bojan Bogdanović in Sacramento is a 1.6. He goes to the line 14% of his possessions, only shoots, or 10% of his possessions, shoots 29% of his threes. Pretty nice matchup. But there's my thesis for you. 140 players that use 10 or more scoring opportunities a night, 45 of them, 0.5 or below, only one or three will be left in the playoffs. Of the 52 that are above, either 22 or 25 will be left in the playoffs.